The students and teachers were asking, what is Agni? Explain to me Agni, what is Agni? The word which was used in Veda, and nobody understands the meaning of Agni now. Because Agni means fire. And this fire, surely, Vedic rishis do not speak of this fire. It's like a horse has come to me. He's not horse. It's energy. Similarly, what is Agni? These people who came at a time when the Vedic knowledge was buried in symbolism, was not understood, a period came when there was a striving, and a very strenuous striving. You might say, they felt as if they could not live longer unless that knowledge was derived, was taken out. In no history of the world, no people at any stage had done this kind of striving as these rishis of the Upanishads did. Eleusinian mysteries was similar to Veda. But there was no period in Greece where people of Greece tried to understand the mysteries of Eleusinian times. It was lost. A few parables remained, a few legends remained. What exactly was the meaning of Eleusinian mysteries? Even today, nobody knows. Even today, nobody knows. Because there was no attempt to find that meaning. Therefore, in no history, there was a period when Egypt, for example, had a secret knowledge. Even today, people visit pyramids and they see the hieroglyphics of pyramids. What do they stand for? There was no period in history where the mysteries of the Egyptian knowledge were discovered. They are lost. We don't know. There are pictures, there are diagrams, figures of various kinds, but we don't know what was the knowledge there. There was no period in Egyptian history corresponding to this period. Unveiling the symbolism of the past strictly to find out the true knowledge which was there. It's not ordinarily to be sure that this is the knowledge. You know, one can interpret it one's own way and say, oh, this must have been the meaning. No. They did not strive in that ordinary manner. They strove with a special method of unveiling, which I'll come to later on. What was the method of unveiling? This is the one special meaning of the stir and quest of these Upanishads. What was the second quest? The quest, the intensity of the quest. This is very special in the Upanishads. You can have intensity of any kind of quest in the world. There are many people who make a quest. Many people have sacrificed their life for wealth, for positions, like Alexander. But for attaining knowledge, to be ready to give your life for the sake of knowledge, that's the intensity. People are prepared to give up anything and everything just for the sake of knowledge. This is the intensity, and that is the mark of Upanishads. You find the dialogue between Yajnavalkya and Maitreyi. Maitreyi is a wife of Yajnavalkya. Yajnavalkya is a great rishi. He has amassed great wealth because he had won many trophies, you might say, to use our modern terminology. Many prizes, where thousands of cows were offered to him with all gold coated horns on the cows. Many such prizes were won by Yajnavalkya, a lot of money. And he got a call and said, you give up everything. And he prepared himself to give up everything. He divided the wealth that he had between two wives. He had Katyayani and Maitreyi, the two wives. And said, This is your portion, this is your portion. Maitreyi said, Lord, she said to her husband, Lord, even if I have not only this wealth but the wealth of the whole world, shall I be free? This was her question. Even if I have not only this wealth but the wealth of the whole world, shall I be free? And Yajnavalkya's answer was no. If you are looking for freedom, you must have knowledge. So Maitreyi said, then I do not want this wealth. She gave up. She said, I will follow you in your pursuit of knowledge. All this means nothing to me. This is a special speciality of this stir and the quest. You give up everything. Like people who have come to Auroville, like General, for example. He had already won laurels in the world, a hero of the country. Many things would have been possible, but no, he gave up. Why? For the quest of knowledge and the embodiment of knowledge. This is the Indian style, the Indian soul. Upanishad lives in our constant story of India. Buddha had everything in his life. He had a palace for winter, a palace for summer, a palace for monsoon, and hundreds of damsels to serve him. A beautiful wife, a very handsome child, a very benevolent father, and the whole kingdom where he was loved. What more does one want? At one stroke, overnight, he gave up everything in search of the true knowledge. It is because of this tradition which was set up in the Upanishads. You should have the courage and you should have no attachment to anything if knowledge was the object of your quest. This idea that knowledge is supreme, if any achievement is to be attained, is knowledge. And for the attainment of knowledge, you should be able to sacrifice everything. This intensity, this is a mark of the Upanishads. The rishis whose names we will study in the Upanishads are those rishis who were prepared of this kind of abandonment, renunciation. This is the second characteristic. What is the third characteristic? This quest was not confined only to a few people. It was not confined only to the learned. It was spread all over. This is a very speciality. In human society, human stories, you get one or two great people who are ready to renounce everything. But no, here there was a child, Jabali's son. He was prepared for everything and anything to gain knowledge. A son who did not know who was his father. There was Ajatashatru, the king. There was Raikwa, the cart driver. A cart driver. There were learned people like Yajnavalkya, like Maitreyi, like Gargi. Very learned. This quest was spread over all the sections of society. And in a few pages, Sri Aurobindo says, in a few pages of the Upanishads, the entire story of this quest is inscribed. And you can see there the stir and the quest of the people of the Upanishads. That is why Upanishads constitute a story of people which is unparalleled. We shall continue tomorrow. All right. Thank you.